This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
What's going on, everybody? It is your boy Dylan Matthews live in the Kia Studios giving you the hometown take. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at underscore Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. It's a Tuesday morning. I hope you all are doing well. Shout out to all my overnighters, truck drivers, third shifters. Shout out to all my early morning, late night Uber and Lyft drivers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night limo drivers out there as well. Shout out to all the first responders protecting the city, the county, the state, the country. I appreciate you. Shout out to all my early gym goers getting them good endorphins flowing early this morning. Shout out to all my people already at work, on their way to work. Salute to you. I know the vibes. I'm right here with you. Shout out to all my early morning, late night hospital workers out there working around the clock, making sure that people get the good medicine, treatment, and care that they need. Shout out to all my early morning, late night dentists, dental workers, dental assistants out there, making sure that people keep their pearly whites nice, clean, and shiny this morning. Shout out to all my early morning, late night food industry workers serving up the good nourishment for all my early risers this morning. Shout out to all my early morning, late night vending machine technicians out there, making sure that people can get their snack on early this morning. Shout out to all my early morning, late night bus drivers out there riding around and getting it, making sure that people get from home to work and the kiddos get from home to school in a safe and timely fashion. Shout out to all my early morning, late night UPS drivers, UPS workers, FedEx drivers, FedEx workers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night Amazon drivers, Amazon workers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night airport workers out there as well. Shout out to all my early morning, late night local 728 transportation drivers in the film industry. Shout out to all my local 613 IBEW workers out there riding around and getting early this morning. I appreciate you. Shout out to all my early morning, late night bus drivers out there, all my early morning, late night front and rear load and truck drivers, all my early morning, late night hospitality workers, hotel workers out there, making sure that people are having a great stay wherever that may be, all my local funeral home workers, and of course, all my people listening in the bed right now as well. I will say that I walked into the Kia Studios this morning, and they have a little bit of a heartbreak game on for the Falcons right now. They have the Week 17 game on between the Falcons and the Commanders. It was a fun game, but it didn't end the way the Falcons wanted it to. So I really don't want to relive that. I might have to change the channel in between breaks, but it is also NFL Network, and, you know, we do want to keep NFL Network on in here so we can keep you up to date with the latest news and whatnot. But either way it goes, we got that game on in front of me right now. So, anywho, let's talk about something that is a little more positive, shall we? And the Combine is obviously getting going this week, and we'll see guys start to work out on Thursday. You got guys starting to report today. I think like defensive linemen, kickers, offensive linemen. I think those are all some of the position groups that are reporting today. But before we talk about football, I want to get into the hardware. I want to talk about what's going on in the hard court, what's going on in the world of the NBA. Because our Atlanta Hawks, They hunkered down defensively last night, y'all. They gave up the fewest points they have all season last night, only giving up 86 in a 98-86 win over the Miami Heat, and it was a big one, one the Hawks desperately needed after starting 0-2 in after coming off the All-Star break. So it was a much-needed win for the Hawks, and they got good contribution all around. They had a total of six guys in double figures, and it was pretty even. You had three guys in double figures as far as starters go, and then you also had three guys in double figures off the bench, and we finally got a good game from Terrence Mann. So that was nice to see, and hopefully that is a sign of things to come for Terrence Mann, because if he can really start getting it going like we know he can and like he's shown before, that's going to be a huge boost, because it's since the Hawks got Terrence Mann, he hadn't really done much offensively. He had solid defensive performances, and he definitely had that last night as well, but hadn't really had that good offensive game, and that's what we got from him last night off the bench. Him, along with Caris LeVert, had 15 points. George Niang, the other trade deadline acquisition, had 11, and Clint Capella had 8 points and 11 rebounds off the bench. So you almost had all four guys that played and came off the bench score in double figures. So that was good for the Hawks. Trae Young, 11 points, 14 assists. Didn't do much shooting-wise, but did a lot as far as facilitating and getting assists goes. Did not have a very good shooting night at all. He was only 4 of 14 from the field, 0 of 7 from 3. The Hawks overall as a team were not very good shooting from 3. They were 9 of 35, 25.7% from 3. Not very good. But, again, the Miami Heat only shot 17.5%. They were 7 of 40, and they only shot 32% from the field overall. Hawks at least shot 45.5% from the field. So, not a great shooting night, not a great offensive night for either team. But the Hawks, you do got to give them some credit, did a good job defensively on the Miami Heat. And they only had a total of four guys in double figures. Andrew Wiggins was the guy putting up all the numbers for the Heat. Other than that, they didn't really have too much else. Bam Adebayo, he had 14. Tyler Herro only had 11. So that was good job by the Hawks, making sure he didn't have a big night. And then you also had Kyle Anderson. He had a solid night with 14 points off the bench. But other than that, everybody else held to double figures. And I know this Miami Heat team obviously isn't the Jimmy Butler Miami Heat team. They're a Miami Heat team that seems now finally to be going in a little bit different direction when you talk about maybe hitting the reset button and trying to really figure out what their future is going to be in Miami. So, again, not the same Miami Heat team, and they're 26-30 for a reason. But look, the point is the Hawks came out. And what I'm most impressed with is the Hawks came out after giving up their season high, I believe, in points last game against the – or I should say Sunday night against the Pistons when they gave up, what, 148? They were able to bounce back in a big way and only give up 86 on the second night of a back-to-back. So that, to me, was really, really good and – also, to me, really, really promising for the Hawks, the way they were able to bounce back and have a good performance defensively after not having a very good performance defensively against the Pistons. So you could tell they really locked in, and they were really focused on the defensive end. And, of course, Miami not shooting well obviously helped that, but part of Miami not shooting well is the Hawks playing good on defense. So it was, again, very much a sight for sore eyes when we talk about what the Hawks were able to do last night, and hopefully they can find a way to go ahead and make this two wins in a row, as the Hawks will take on the Heat tomorrow, this time in Miami. Last night's game, of course, in Atlanta, and that closes out the Hawks' three-game homestand. So tomorrow night's game will be in Miami, and hopefully the Hawks can get a second straight win, and if they are able to do that, they'll be able to also move up a little bit in the standings as well. Actually, they jumped over the Heat in with their win last night. So they're now just percentage points ahead of the Miami Heat, and they're back in eighth place in the East, and they're now a game and a half behind the Orlando Magic for seventh place in the East. Still five games behind the Pistons for sixth place in the East. And again, a little bit of a long shot. We talked about this yesterday that they'll catch the Pistons at this point, but you can catch up to the Magic, and you still got two games against the Orlando Magic. Mentioned that yesterday. Still got two games against the Magic. If you can, again, find a way to just at the very least maintain a one-and-a-half game or a game, if you can stay no greater than a game behind the Magic, then I think you'll end up being okay, and you have a really good chance to get that 17, and you'll be able to take matters into your own hands. But again, we're still a few games away, still a little ways away from what the those last two matchups against the Orlando Magic, because one is the last game of the season, and then another matchup is, I think, like it's like the second to last game of the season. So yeah, they play the third to last game of the season for the fourth to last game. Excuse me. There we go. April 8th is what I'm trying to tell you. They play them April 8th and then the last game of the season, regular season, on April 13th. So those games will be probably really, really big when it comes to seeding, you would think, when it comes down to those games in April for the Hawks and the Magic. But again, you still got to take care of business leading up to those games, and they did that last night against the Miami Heat. So that was good to see. And again, it's always good to see that even when Trae Young isn't shooting well, he is able to still distribute the ball that the way that he was and facilitate the way that he was and still get those 13 assists that he had last night. Excuse me, 14 assists. Tried to short him one. 14 assists that he had last night along with his 11 points. And Onyeka Okongwu had a nice game. He was the leading scorer last night for the Hawks. 17 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists for Onyeka as well. 2 of 3 from 3 last night, 7 of 10 from the field. He was the Hawks' best 3-point shooter last night for sure. Terrence Mann also had a good, solid night from 3. 2 of 5 from 3, 6 of 9 from the field overall. George Niang wasn't bad. 3 of 7 from the field, 4 of 9 from 3, 7 from the 3, 4 of 9 from the field for George Niang. So, again, Onyeka Okongwu getting the better of Bam last night. So that was definitely good to see. And again, this Hawks team just has to find a way to win games. Find a way to win games, and especially these games where you are, again, taking on teams that are either directly above or below you. And this next game tomorrow is going to kind of close out that stretch for the Hawks where they took on the Magic, the Pistons, and then two games with the Heat. And so if you can at least go 2-2 in those games and take down the Heat in both of them, you feel at least somewhat okay about that, even though, you know, you felt like, again, you really had both of those games against the Magic and the Pistons. You gave up an 11-5 run at the end of the game against the Magic to lose that game, and then you gave up a 9-3 run at the end of the game on Monday night against the Pistons to lose that game. So you feel like you're right there and just couldn't close it out. But Hawks did a good job keeping their foot on the neck of the Miami Heat last night. So, again, they'll be back in action tomorrow against the Miami Heat. And you already know you can hear that game right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, flagship station of your Atlanta Hawks. And it'll be just like it was last night. Pre-game starting at 7 o'clock. Tip off shortly after 7:30 with Steve Holman on the call. So hopefully the Hawks can find a way to get themselves another dub, and hopefully they can shoot a little better too. But honestly, as long as they get the win, that's all that matters. All right, while we got a couple of minutes here on the Hometown Take with your boy Dylan Matthews here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on a Tuesday morning, I will let you know and keep you updated on what the Braves have going on spring training-wise, just in case you haven't been keeping your ear to the streets when it comes to the Braves, since they are in spring training right now. They did have their spring training game against the Orioles yesterday canceled due to rain. That game will not be made up. They're not going to go out of their way to make up a spring training game. However, they will be back in action today against the Pittsburgh Pirates. First pitch set for 1:05. So We'll see what the Braves are able to do today. Hopefully they can get the game in, first and foremost, and then hopefully they can show us something good if they're able to get the game in today in Pittsburgh. But again, first pitch set for 105. Braves hopefully back in action today when it comes to spring training. All right, when we come back here about 5 minutes from now on the Hometown Take, let's get into some football. The combine is upon us. We have teams there, front offices there, players are starting to report. And speaking of which, I will go ahead and let you know this too. Terry Fontenot and Raheem Morris will not only speak to the media today, but they will be speaking on this radio station today. General Manager Terry Fontenot will join the morning shift at 8:40, and Raheem Morris scheduled to join the midday show with Andy and Randy at 11:40, I believe it is. It's either 11:30 or 11:40, but either way it goes. Got the GM and the head coach both on the radio station today, so make sure you tuned in to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game all day long. You won't regret it. When we come back, Daniel Jeremiah, mock draft 2.0. Who do you have the Falcons drafting? We'll find out after this. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take with your boy Dylan Matthews on a Tuesday morning. We'll be right back after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Tuesday morning. I hope you all are doing well. Shout out to everybody that is tuned in, tapped in right now on their way to work or already at work. I appreciate you. Shout out to everybody that is tuned in, tapped in right now that is on their way to the gym or already at the gym. I appreciate you as well. Make sure you follow the radio station at 92.9 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at underscore Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. Make sure you download that free Odyssey app. That way, if you are not usually an early riser, you can listen to the show, guess what, whenever time. You don't have to listen live at 5. I would love you to, but you don't have to. If you just listen, period, I would love you all the same. And all you have to do is download the free Odyssey app on your smartphone and all your smart devices. Search 92.9 The Game. Find my show, The Hometown Take, or any of the great shows here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And then all you guys to do is just listen. And you can listen to my show in its entirety, all the other shows here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You can listen to their shows in their full entirety as well. You can go back and listen to your favorite segments. You can go back and listen to interviews. You can do all that with the great Odyssey app. So make sure you download that on your smartphone and all your smart devices today. I didn't give the Hawks nearly the credit that I needed to give them when it comes to their defensive performance last night, because not only was last night the fewest points that they allowed this season, it was the fewest points allowed that they, they've allowed in nearly 4 years. So I didn't give them enough credit. I didn't give them the credit that they needed to. So when you talk about what the Hawks were able to do last night, they, after, again, this is one night after allowing the Pistons to shoot a season-high 59.1% from the field, the Hawks held the Heat to a season-low 32.1%, and the Hawks allowed their fewest points since a 100-82 victory over the Cleveland Cavaliers on March 14th, 2021. So that was, again, a very, very good defensive performance from the Hawks last night. So I had to come back and make sure I put the emphasis and gave the Hawks their just due. Told y'all how good of a defensive performance that was from the Atlanta Hawks last night. And again, fewest points allowed in nearly 4 years. And again, it was definitely, you know, some of it is because Miami is definitely not the Miami team that they used to be. But lot of it, too, is you got to credit the Hawks and what they were able to do defensively. So good stuff there from the Hawks. Again, they beat the Miami Heat last night, 98-86, move up to eighth place in the East, and they'll be back taking on the Heat tomorrow in Miami. Pre-game starting at 7 o'clock, tip-off shortly after 7:30. And again, you can catch that game right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, flagship station of your Atlanta Hawks. But let's transition from the Hawks to the Falcons as, again, the Combine getting going this week. Players will start doing workouts and things of that nature on Thursday. But players are starting to report. Teams or team representatives starting to show up. And like I told you earlier, make sure you are tuned in to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game all day long. Atlanta Falcons general manager Terry Fontenot joining the morning shift at 8:40 this morning, live from Indy, live from the Combine. And then Atlanta Falcons head coach Raheem Morris joining the midday show with Andy and Randy at, I believe it's 11:40, maybe 11:30. But either way it goes, you need to be listening to the station all day long so you don't miss it, okay? Okay. But with the Combine starting and getting going this week, thought it would be a good day to look at another mock draft. And Daniel Jeremiah, very well-known draft insider and draft analyst, put out his mock draft 2.0. The 2.0s are starting to come down after all the draft analysts have put out their first mock draft. The second ones are starting to come to light, and Daniel Jeremiah put out his second mock draft, and we'll go through the first 14 picks and just quickly and kind of give you a setup for what the Falcons are doing with the 15th overall pick in this mock draft from Daniel Jeremiah. So with the number one overall pick, he has the Titans selecting Abdul Carter, the edge out of Penn State. Second overall pick, he has the Browns selecting Miami quarterback Cam Ward. At number three, he has the Giants selecting Travis Hunter, the Colorado wide receiver and cornerback. Seemed like he was one of the best, if not the best player in all of college football this past season. At number four, he has the Patriots selecting Will Campbell, the offensive tackle out of LSU. At five, he has the Jaguars grabbing Mason Graham, the defensive tackle from Michigan. At six, he has the Raiders getting Colorado QB Shedeur Sanders. At number seven, he has the Jets selecting Penn State tight end Tyler Warren. At eight, he has the Panthers selecting a Georgia boy, Jalen Walker, the edge out of Georgia, going to NFC South foe at number eight. Number nine, and then another NFC South foe is picking, and he has the Saints going high on Mike Green. At number nine, the Marshall edge rusher, who, again, went viral for that one clip and putting, who was it, with Josh Connerly on his tuchus in the Senior Bowl, during Senior Bowl practice. So Daniel Jeremiah has the Saints drafting Mike Green out of Marshall at number nine. At number 10, he has the Bears selecting Kelvin Banks Jr., the offensive tackle out of Texas. At 11, he has the 49ers selecting Will Johnson, the corner out of Michigan. 12, he has the Cowboys getting a guy that the Falcons could maybe also be interested in. Not in this mock draft, though. He has the Cowboys selecting Walter Nolan, the Ole Miss defensive tackle. At 13, the Dolphins draft Tyler Booker, the Alabama offensive guard. And at 14, he has the Colts drafting Armand Membo, the Missouri offensive tackle. And with the 15th overall pick in the 2025 NFL draft, he has the Falcons selecting a Georgia boy, Mykael Williams. And I'm just going to read you his little blurb that he put. It doesn't really give any analysis on why he has the Falcons drafting Mykael Williams. He just says this, quote, "One of these years, I'm going to be right, and the Falcons will take a pass rusher in the first round." That's all it says. I kid you not. That is all it says. You know, for other picks, he has some reasoning, and he gives, like, stats and insight. And this one, nope. "One of these years, I'm going to be right, and the Falcons will take a pass rusher in the first round." That's all he says. So, very interesting stuff there. But I did think it was funny that he put that there. So thought I had to share that with you all. But as far as him having the Falcons taking Mykael Williams with the 15th overall pick, I'm here for it. I would definitely be here for either Jalen Walker or Mykael Williams. I do think it is more likely that Mykael Williams is available for the Falcons at 15 than Jalen Walker. In just about all the drafts I've seen, Jalen Walker has not fallen to 9. He's been pretty much across the board. Now, there, again, maybe a select few out there and maybe some, you know, Falcons mock drafts where guys are maybe a little bit maybe wearing some red and black tinted glasses that, you know, they have Jalen Walker falling to the Falcons. But in pretty much all the national kind of unbiased mock drafts I've seen, Jalen Walker has not fallen past the 8th overall pick. And pretty much if he either goes before 8 or right at 8 to the Carolina Panthers. So that's why I think it's definitely going to be more likely that he ends up going to the Panthers. You know, I don't think he falls past the Saints if the Saints are able to get their hands on him. So I don't think, I say all that to say, I don't think Jalen Walker will be there for the Falcons. I'm not even 100% sure. I don't even know if I'm 70% sure that Mykael Williams is going to be there for the Falcons. But if there is a chance that either one of these Georgia defensive players are there for the Falcons, I think there's a obviously greater chance that Mykael Williams is there for the Falcons rather than Jalen Walker. So I think, honestly, if either one are there for the Falcons, Jalen Walker or Mykael Williams, I think the Falcons are going to, without hesitation, draft either one. Definitely Jalen Walker. Mykael Williams, I think they won't have much hesitation in drafting him either. I mean, both guys look to be really good NFL players. So don't be surprised at all if either Jalen Walker or Mykael Williams there. This is going to be the year that the Falcons draft a Georgia player with their first round pick. If Jalen Walker or Mykael Williams are there, I think this will be the year that that happens. But I would love the Falcons to get Mykael. And, you know, again, maybe this ends up happening. You know, maybe the Saints, after seeing Mike Green and what he did at the Senior Bowl, he's not going to work out at the Combine. He already said that. But maybe after seeing what he did in the Senior Bowl, maybe they feel really good about him. And maybe after seeing him at his pro day, they feel like, hey, this is our guy, and we're going to go ahead and go get our guy. And maybe they take him at number 9, and that leaves a spot open for Mykael Williams. Because when you think about it, once you get past 12, and you probably think the Cowboys are going to take a guy that's more interior than an edge rusher. I mean, maybe you could be wrong. You know, you never know how the draft is going to fall, how things are going to go. But once you get past the Cowboys at 12, depending on there shouldn't be another defensive guy taken off the board. You think the Dolphins are going to go O-line to help protect Tua. You think the Colts are also going to go O-line to help protect Anthony Richardson. So you would like to think that the Falcons will have their pick after the 12th pick, and that, you know, whoever is on the board is going to stay on the board after the Cowboys pick at 12. So we'll see. You know, if the Saints don't pick, you know, if the Saints do end up picking Mike Green and the Cowboys, you know, do stick with maybe an interior guy, maybe this could end up coming to fruition. We'll see. But I did want to share that with you. And again, we know what the deal is with Mykael Williams. He's got that good potential, power, got good speed on him, got some good pass rush moves. I mean, he could bring the total package. So I'm all for Mykael Williams if he does indeed fall to the Falcons. The question is, will he be there for the Falcons or not? I don't think it's a question of will the Falcons draft him at 15. I think if he's there at 15, the Falcons will draft him. It's just a matter of will he be there. All right, when we come back here, 6 minutes from now on the Hometown Take, we'll get into some other NFL headlines. Speaking of the Combine, the potential number 1 overall pick not working out. at the Combine. We'll tell you why next. Here on the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on a Tuesday morning on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Tuesday morning. I hope y'all are doing well. Shout out to all my people that are tuned in, tapped in right now, on their way to work, or already at work. I appreciate you. Shout out to all my people that are tuned in, tapped in, that are on their way to the gym, already at the gym. Appreciate you tuning in as well. Make sure you follow the radio station at 92.9 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at underscore Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. Few NFL headlines to get to here, as, again, we've told you and we've talked about it pretty much this whole show, or mentioned it this whole show. The NFL Scouting Combine is getting underway. Workouts will really ramp up, obviously, on Thursday. It'll be Thursday through Sunday, but teams are already starting. Team representatives are already starting to report, and players starting to report today as well. I think it's like offensive linemen, defensive linemen, kickers, things of that nature. So things are starting to get underway. Things are starting to get going, and then, like I said, we'll start to have workouts on Thursday. And a reason you need to stay locked in to Sports Radio 99 The Game all day long is because we're going to have the Falcons general manager, Terry Fontenot, on the radio station today, 8:40 with the morning shift. And then you're going to have Atlanta Falcons head coach Raheem Morris on with the midday show with Andy and Randy at 11:40. So you need to make sure you tuned in to Sports Radio 97 The Game all day long, and you'll not only hear from the general manager, but you hear from the head coach today as well, right here on this radio station. And those guys will speak to the media, the total media down at Indy later today, as always. But you'll hear from them first, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So make sure you're tapped in for that. Okay, I first want to get to the news coming out of the Combine, the biggest news, latest news coming out of the Combine, and that is the potential number one overall pick. Don't know if it'll be the number one overall pick, obviously. Depends on where the Titans go. But certainly an option for the Tennessee Titans with the number one overall pick will be Penn State edge rusher Abdul Carter. However, he is not going to work out at the Combine due to his shoulder injury that he suffered near the end of the season. So his agents, Drew Rosenhaus and Robert Bailey, told ESPN's Adam Schefter that Carter suffered the injury in Penn State's win against Boise State in the college football playoff quarterfinals in December. And they said this, Rosenhaus said this, he told this to Adam Schefter, quote, "We fully expect Abdul to be recovered in time to work out at his pro day at Penn State, and he will perform at a very high level," end quote. And it also says here in the story from ESPN and Jeff Legwold that Carter will undergo the medical exams at the Combine and participate in interviews with teams. And that is also something that Drew Rosenhaus, one of his agents, added as well. So, again, he will be able to do the medicals. He'll still be able to talk to the teams, which is a very, very important part of the NFL Combine. Probably, honestly, the most important thing, not even working out, because guys don't work out all the time. Like, this is not the first time that guys haven't worked out. Won't be the last time guys haven't worked out. And, you know, quarterbacks don't work out all the time. The top three quarterbacks taken off the board last year didn't work out. I mean, Jaden Daniels didn't work out. Caleb Williams didn't work out. Drake May didn't work out. And they're doing just fine. So it's more so about being able to meet with these teams and the teams being able to pick the brain of these guys and talk to these guys about, you know, what they can offer to the what they can bring to the team and, you know, what their mindset is and all those sort of things. So it's more important that these guys are available to talk to the teams than anything, and Abdul Carter will still be able to do that. And He'll work out his pro day. Teams will go to his pro day, and everything will be just fine. So not a huge deal, but definitely some bigger news coming out of the combine that the, again, potential number one overall pick isn't going to be working out at the combine. So wanted to bring that news to you. And Rosenau said he also, in this story, said he also forwarded a letter from Dr. Dan Cooper, the Dallas Cowboys' team physician who treated Carter. He forwarded that letter to NFL teams to say Carter had just been medically cleared to resume training. So, again, all this is being done to say, hey, he's good. You know, no need to have concerns. He shouldn't drop in the draft. He still should be, you know, a top two, top three, maybe even the number one overall pick. He should still be a top three pick. It's just that he's getting healthy, and he's going to make sure he's 100% for his pro day, and we don't want to risk anything. They're basically putting out that this is just a precautionary thing. You know, don't need to have any extra concerns. Here's what we got from the Cowboys physician. He says he's cleared to resume training, so he's good. Injury's all pretty much healed up, but we just want to make sure he's good to go for his pro day and that nothing happens during the combine. So he's still going to do his medicals. He's still going to meet with the teams. And then if y'all want to see him work out, y'all can see him work out at his pro day. Okay? So that's what that's all about there. But that is the latest and greatest news coming out of the NFL scouting combine. Another big piece of news coming out of the NFL yesterday is that an unidentified team has proposed to ban the tush push. And this is probably what, like the second or third, probably third offseason in a row that this has come up where a team wants to have the tush push banned. So I don't know if it's going to get banned, but here's the story here from ESPN. An NFL team has submitted a rule proposal to ban the tush push. And Troy Vincent, the NFL's executive vice president of football operations, told reporters from the scouting combine that on yesterday, Vincent obviously did not identify the team that made the proposal when he made his comments during a break in meetings between the NFL officials and the competition committee. But NFL owners could vote on the proposal next month at the annual league meeting in Palm Beach, Florida, unless the team decides to withdraw its proposal. And if the proposal goes to a vote, 24 of the NFL's 32 owners would have to vote in favor of the banning of the tush push to have the proposal passed. Teams submit rule proposals each year, and those, along with proposals submitted by the competition committee, are then put up for vote by the owners. And so this is what Vincent had to say, Troy Vincent had to say, according to the Washington Post, quote, "We do have a club playing rule proposal around the tush push. It's the way they deemed it, the tush push. It's on our agenda. The club proposal is we need to make some adjustments to that. Is that a viable football play?" And so, like I told you just a couple of minutes ago, the play has been examined by the NFL and the competition committee in previous off seasons, but no action has ever been taken up to this point, obviously, because teams are still doing the tush push. The Eagles and the Bills combined to run 163 tush pushes. So those are probably the two teams that use it the most, even though Sean McDermott, the Bills head coach, did say that they run it a little bit differently than the Eagles do. But the Eagles and Bills have scored a touchdown or achieved a first down on 87% of their attempts using the tush push, while the rest of the NFL has just been successful on 71% of their attempts, and that is from ESPN research. And again, despite Sean McDermott using the play and being one of those teams that heavily uses the tush push, he did share his reservations about the safety of the play during his combine availability yesterday. He said, quote, "To me, there's always been an injury risk with that play, and I've expressed that opinion for the last couple of years or so when it really started to come into play. The way it's being used, especially a year ago, he just feels like player safety and the health and safety of our players has to be the top of our game, which it is. It's just that play to me has always been, or the way that the techniques that are used with that play to me have been potentially contrary to the health and safety of the players. And so, again, you have to go back through in the fairness to the injury data on the play, but I just think the optics of it I'm not in love with it. So even though he uses it, again, he did say they do it maybe a little bit differently than the Eagles do it, but he's still, even as a guy and as a coach that uses the tush push a good amount with Josh Allen, still not a huge fan of the play. So, look, I don't know if it'll be banned. I think at this point, if they haven't banned it by now, I don't think they will. And especially to me, in my opinion, if they don't ban it this offseason after the Eagles, you know, coming off a Super Bowl championship, a Super Bowl title, where the first touchdown they scored was thanks to a tush push. If they don't ban it this offseason, they're not going to ban it. It's just, it'll have been, what, 3-4 offseasons now where it's been, you know, talked about or up for proposal to ban it. And if they haven't done it by now, it just doesn't seem like they're going to ban it. At least until maybe, you know, there are more injuries that come from it. But I honestly haven't seen that many injuries or heard of that many injuries that come from the tush push. And I can see where it seems like a dangerous play. I do remember back in the Super Bowl, and you might remember this too, where after the Eagles scored that first touchdown using the tush push, Chris Jones, the Chiefs defensive lineman, was on the sideline trying to get his, like, you know, neck adjusted and look like he had maybe a little bit of nerve pain or something like that. So maybe if that stuff starts to come about more, and maybe if there are more injuries, then, you know, never say never, I guess. But I just don't, as of right now, I don't see it getting banned. I just don't feel like as Sean McDermott put it, I don't see the injury data that supports banning the tush push. I just don't see it. To me, and I could be way off base, maybe I am, but I just don't remember right now there being that many injuries happening this NFL season because of the tush push. I just don't see it. So maybe, again, maybe they'll end up switching it because, you know, teams will be salty that the Eagles won the Super Bowl. Who knows? But definitely something to look out for, as it looks like, again, they're going to have to vote on whether or not to ban the tush push again this offseason. Okay, a couple of moves have happened moves to come have been reported the last couple of days here, and one being close to home here in the NFC South. The Panthers are not going to re-sign longtime starter, longtime linebacker Shaq Thompson. So he said at the end of the season, Shaq Thompson did, that he wanted to finish his career as a member of the Carolina Panthers, but the Panthers are like, ooh, see, that's nice and all, but we don't necessarily want to bring you back, fam. So the team has informed the 30-year-old that he is free to enter free agency. That means we ain't bringing you back. When an NFL team or somebody tells you, oh, no, you can, you know, you can test free agency, no, you're good to look for a trade, it means they don't want to keep you. They don't want you back. That's all that means. So this was a statement from General Manager Dan Morgan yesterday. He said, quote, "We appreciate Shaq's leadership and dedication over the past 10 seasons. Always a source of passion and enthusiasm. He was committed to this organization on and off the field, poured into his teammates, and strived to bring out the best in them. We wish Shaq the best wishes as he moves forward with his career." So that's pretty plain and simple. We ain't bringing Shaq Thompson back. And look, I don't know if he maybe ends up being a target for the Falcons. Still maybe could be a very good linebacker. And, you know, I don't know if the Falcons feel like he would be an upgrade over a guy like Nate Landman, who is a restricted free agent, I believe. But he could end up being I think he definitely will still be a guy that is sought after in the free agent market. And I think a contender definitely would love to add a Shaq Thompson to their defense. And maybe that ends up being the Falcons. You can probably get him for cheap, but we'll see if that ends up being the case. And Thompson also said, "Yeah, I want my career. I want to end my career here." Thompson again said this back in January. "Be one of those guys in history that play with one team, but it's up to them. These two injuries, it happens. All I can do is get better and come back strong." So, again, unfortunately, injuries towards the end of his career have kind of hurt him. In 2024, he had his season ended with a torn Achilles, and then in week 14 against the Cincinnati Bengals, he broke his ankle in week 2 of the 2023 season. And then, again, he tore his Achilles in 2024 in week four against the Bengals, and then last year he broke his ankle in week two of the 2023 season. So I had that a little bit backwards there. But either way it goes, we'll see where Shaq Thompson ends up landing, but could be a good pickup for a team that feels like they're ready to compete. But those are a couple of NFL headlines for you. Appreciate y'all tuning in. As always, we'll be back tomorrow on a hump day to hopefully talk about the Hawks getting ready to get another win. We'll definitely have audio from Terry Fontenot and Raheem Morris, and we will be back to talk about all things Atlanta sports. But until then, the morning shift with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, and Mark Zeno filling in for Tiffany Blackman again. They're coming up next here on The Morning Shift. I'll talk to you tomorrow, 5 a.m. Until then, peace.